Today we are fortunate to celebrate the memorial of Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton, the first American-born saint, canonized in 1975 by Pope Paul VI, foundress of the Sisters of Charity here in America, which joined the Sisters of Charity in France with Saint Vincent de Paul's community. They became one. And she was a mother of five children. And it was interesting because she founded this community while she was taking care of her children. So interesting that she was living with her children, rearing them while she was living with sisters as well in this religious community. And she had taken vows too as a mother. And she was a converted Episcopalian. So most of her life she was an Episcopalian, a devout Episcopalian. She became more and more devout in her spiritual life too as an Episcopalian, and through her trials and sufferings she grew closer to God and fortunately found the Catholic faith to deepen her faith much, much more and become a saint. But she was born in 1774, right at really the founding of the country, 1774, and she was a daughter of a famous doctor, and so she lived in high society. She was an accomplished horsewoman. She was fluent in French. She was a musician. So she was very talented, and she went to many parties and balls and was wearing fancy dresses and all that, which she said didn't hurt her, because of the modesty at that time. So she had many friends and many contacts and in the Protestant world at that time that she lived in. And so when she did come finally in contact with the Catholic faith, it was a big sensation and a big persecution ensued with her. But she married William Seton, who was a businessman involved in shipping overseas and had friends over in Italy. And he became, his father was wealthy as well, so she was lived in wealth. And he became ill, and his father died, and his shipping business started to deteriorate, and started to lose money and ended up in bankruptcy. And this caused, of course, a lot of anguish for Elizabeth Seton and the family, and they had to go through many trials and working through the poverty that was coming upon them. And he became very ill, and it was advised to go to Italy for a change and for a change of atmosphere and see if that could help him. So they took the long trip and they sold a lot of the possessions they had to be able to make the trip. She went with him and one of her daughters. And they arrived in Leghorn, Italy, and because of his yellow fever that he had and that was plaguing in New York, they learned about that in Italy and they put him in quarantine immediately, which was a stone building, and he had to sleep on the floor, and he was suffered with fever and terrible, terrible suffering, and she had to take care of him, and it was 40 days of torture, really, for them, suffering in the cold and the fever that he had and lack of amenities and food and whatnot. But they went there to meet up with friends of theirs, the Felicis, Italian family, a very devout Catholic family, who tried to help him while he was in this quarantine. And then finally, the authorities allowed him to leave the quarantine and go to the Felici family. And he recovered a little bit, but then he died shortly thereafter in Italy. And so Elizabeth stayed there in Italy for a while before she could take a boat back to America. And she traveled a lot of the churches in Italy, and she was amazed at the beauty and the prayer life of the Catholics there, and especially their Eucharistic devotion. and her contact with the Felici family, who, and they actively evangelized her in their home, and that had a great effect on her conversion, and she had many thoughts, and she had to come to decisions on the Catholic faith, but she was indecisive, even coming back to America, and she was continuing to converse and correspond with letters to the Felicis, especially there were two brothers and a mother of the Felicis that would communicate with her and try to help her to come to the Catholic faith. And so she was struggling with the two faiths, her Episcopalian faith and the Catholic faith, and she was not sure what to do, even though she was praying and they were corresponding and sending, especially Antonio Felici was sending her letters that were kind of forceful, that you have to convert, you have to come to the faith and for your salvation and for the good of those you know, etc. So she did eventually receive the grace to convert, and she came to know Bishop John Carroll, the first Catholic bishop in America, and he became her spiritual director. But she, when she came back, she was living in poverty, and her friends were helping her to support her family in the meager means that she had. But when they found out that she was considering Catholicism, she suffered worse persecution and less help. And so in her dire need, the Catholics that she did know, was really the president of St. Mary's College in Baltimore, Connecticut, Maryland, offered her a teaching position in Baltimore. So she moved her family there, and but before she moved there, she was running a boarding school for boys, so they knew she was good at teaching, so she went there to teach in Baltimore, and she, from there, was encouraged by Bishop John Carroll to start a religious order of teaching sisters, because he knew her fervor and her, because as Episcopalian, she was a very loving mother, a very loving wife, and was really fervent in her faith, really loved God very much, and loved her God even more, and was growing closer and closer to God through her trials. So he saw her religious spirit and saw that she could be a good foundress of a teaching community of sisters, because schools were so greatly in need in America at that time. And so she did follow his advice and counsel, and she had friends. She had her sister-in-law that joined her, her three daughters, and a few other lady friends that came together and founded this little nucleus community. She named it the Sisters of Charity, and they grew from poverty in a religious community, and there in Emmitsburg, Maryland, they were given a piece of land, and they slowly grew and built buildings and had orphanages and hospitals and boarding schools and free schools for poor children. And so, little by little, of course, these things grew. And by the end of her life, she had over 20 different institutions that she had founded in schools throughout the country, going all the way to all of New England and going to Ohio and Louisiana and St. Louis, Missouri. So she was a great foundress and did a lot for the establishment of the Catholic Church, and the first religious community as well in America she founded. So we are blessed to have her example for us, the first American saint, and maybe perhaps we can learn from her patience. She had two sons and a daughter that became enamored with the world, and she had to deal with that and trying to bring them back to the faith and to live the faith more fervently. So she had to struggle with her two sons, especially, who were going off into the world and doing different things that weren't so good she had to communicate with them in writing and whatnot. So maybe we can learn from her patience in their conversion, but also the patience that she had to have with herself in her own conversion to the Catholic faith, and how important it is to be patient with others in their conversions and their struggles, and the grace that God gives to them at His time and His way, and to pray and continue to work for conversions and evangelization and unceasingly, without giving up, without being discouraged, but to pray more and more and you know, keep giving those hints as she received and as she gave to her children for greater conversion and sanctification.
Fructum ventris tuum.